Beautiful. Thank you, Joe and team. You lead us so beautifully. Now, it's a special thing to do, is to be able to hold space for one another in prayer. And that moment of prayer this morning is it is sacred space for us as community to be together in the midst of all things that we face. Isaiah prophesied in chapter 56, verse 7, as God was speaking to him about his church, and he says that my church will be a house of prayer, a very thread that Jesus himself picked up in Matthew 21 when he cleansed the temple, and he was so upset by what it had turned into. And Jesus reiterated that prophetic word of Isaiah, and he said, my house will be a house of prayer. And so we come with the gift. We don't come with all of the answers. We come with the gift of prayer in each other's life. And that is an extraordinary gift, one not to be taken lightly. And what a moment that was for us this morning to be able to pray. Can I ask you to continue to pray for each other, to pray for the circumstances that are happening in each other's lives, for giving thanks on behalf of each other before God, to be able to hold space for the difficult things, to be able to journey alongside one another in all that life throws at us, because prayer is a gift that cannot be taken away from us. And that is a true thing. That is truth. Prayer cannot be taken from us. And before we open up and take communion and share some testimony, I just wanted to share some thoughts around hearing God's voice, because we're calling this Sunday, and again in 2 weeks' time after Mother's Day, His Word, Our Voices. And at times it can feel arduous to hear God's voice. I'll be the first to admit that. There are times where I feel like I strain to hear God's voice. There are times where I feel like God's voice isn't clear. I can sit down and read the Word, and I can sit in prayer, and sometimes I can feel like there's just kind of a nothingness, or a staleness, or a coldness, or perhaps you're the same. Perhaps you have come to the Lord seeking something, but you've kind of sat there and kind of gone, I got nothing. And so perhaps today there's some encouragement and a tool even that we can have in our hands, or a way of being that helps us to hear the voice of God. And to set this up, I just want to read to you from 1 Samuel chapter 3. And this is the story of Samuel being called by the Lord. It may be familiar, it may be not, but I'm going to read it to you. And it says this, now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli. At this point, Samuel was a little boy. We're not quite sure how old, but he was little. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days, and there was no frequent vision. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place, and the lamp of God had not yet gone out. And Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called to Samuel, and he said, here I am. And so Samuel, thinking that it was Eli, ran to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. But Eli said to him, I did not call. Go and lie down again. So Samuel went and lay down. And the Lord called again, Samuel. And Samuel, again, thinking it was Eli, got up, and he rose and he ran into Eli and he said, here I am, you called me. But Eli again said, I did not call, my son, go and lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And the Lord called to Samuel again a third time, and believe it or not, he did the same thing. He ran into Eli, and he said, yes, I hear. And Eli says, mate, it wasn't me. Head on off to bed, and well, back to where you were, and he lay down. And the Lord came and stood, calling at that other time, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, speak, for your servant hears. Then the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I'm about to do a thing in Israel with which the two ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. And on that day I'll fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. And I declare to him that I'm about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew, because his sons were blaspheming God and he did not restrain them. Therefore, I swear to the house of Eli that all iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever. A pretty full-on word for Samuel to be getting that he was to go and tell him. So Samuel lay until morning, and then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. Rightfully so, if you ask me. But Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." And he said, "Here I am." And Eli said, "What is it that he told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me that he told you." So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." And Samuel grew and the Lord was with him and none of his words fell to the ground. The Lord was with him and none of his words fell to the ground. I yearn for that experience. That I would have grown so much in my nearness to God and my awareness of his presence and what he is doing that none of his words fall to the ground. Whenever I've read that, I've always assumed that it would just be that the case was that none of Samuel's words fell to the ground. As he went on as a powerful leader, that none of his words, as he commanded and directed and led, none of his words fell to the ground. But as I read it again, I can only see that it is God's words to Samuel never fell to the ground. What a beautiful place that would be in our lives, that nothing was wasted that God said to us. That as we grow in our faith, but what was the context? I'm curious about what, as I think about this, what's the context of getting to that point? Where we grow in our faith to the point where none of God's words fall to the ground. We hear him so sharply and so succinctly and so near, and the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives is so rich and enlivening that we don't miss a word God says. And it's right back at the very beginning where this became right and true for Samuel, where it is written here that Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. That he was lying down. It's important. In the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. And I feel like the Lord was bringing this word to us this morning around being unproductive in the presence. Because Samuel could have been really busy with all of his temple duties. I'm not quite sure what they were. Maybe he was a musician, maybe he was running errands, maybe he was busily organizing and ordering things, maybe he was just a gopher getting the coffees, maybe we're not quite sure what Samuel's job was, but he wasn't hearing God's voice from a place of busyness, but out of being unproductive in the presence of God. And I feel like God is asking us as we grow in our discipleship about the importance of intentionally positioning ourselves away from the chaos and calamity of the world in order to hear the life-giving Word of God. Intentionally positioning ourselves away from the chaos and the calamity of the world in order that we would hear the life-giving words of God. Since we've moved from our offices upstairs to down into the toilet foyer, that's where the ministry hub, the heartbeat of what goes on in this place midweek is in the dunny foyer. And we hear everything, and sometimes I mean everything. No. It's a noisy place. Mainly music happens out here, and that is a joyous, chaotic noise. The dance studio above, when they're up there, it sounds like a stampede. Jimbaroo, who meet in here during the week, have got people coming endlessly all day, every day. It is a noisy, noisy place to work. You know, life is also a noisy place. You probably know this. I don't need you to convince you of this. That your to-do list is noise in your life, that the responsibilities you have is noise in your life, the world events that happen that we hear of just constantly with a 24-hour news cycle and all of the platforms that are throwing world event news at us, it is a noisy place. Social media is a noisy place. A phone is a noisy place. Pressure to watch the latest episode of The Thing or to go and see this. You know, the drama and the conflict that we experience now, these are noisy places. Life is a noisy place. You know, hearing God's voice can be difficult, which I said this morning when I saw this, I hadn't actually seen this version of the image. I'd been looking at this one and how prophetic that Greg's artwork is for this moment. Because sometimes it can feel like our receiver, you know, that thing that is receiving the signal. You know, our spirit, our hearts are a signal receivers for God's voice. And, you know, sometimes the noise of life is just like a dirty black crow that's crapping all over our receiver. And sometimes that's what noise does. It just makes a mess of how we hear God's voice. And I think there's something in what Samuel is doing in the posture that he has of lying down in the presence of God. That Samuel was being unproductive in the presence. So I went and bought some noise-canceling earphones the other week because the noise was just too much. And it was amazing how much more I could get done when all of that noise and distraction and chaos in my mind and physically in the space was able to be brought to a halt. You know, ministry and parenting and marriage and leadership and work, they can all be very noisy places, and that is reality. There is no denying that. All of those theaters of our lives are noisy. But what is true for us who believe in the risen King is that His presence is ultimate reality. That though we are living in a noisy world and life does get noisy, ultimate reality is the total presence of Jesus in your life. And that is incredible. And so we're going to come and take communion in light of that this morning. And I want us in this moment, and it's kind of felt like this in our service already this morning, which is the grace of God of being unproductive in the presence. And I want us to take communion and sit for 5 minutes and try to, I don't know how you do it. Maybe you need to read something. Maybe you need to sit in silence. Maybe you need to take your shoes and socks off and be grounded on the floor. Maybe you need to just lie on the ground as Samuel was lying down. However this is, but just to get yourself to a point, even in a brief moment, just to say, Lord, I am here. And ask what He's saying and be open to what He is saying. Maybe He'll speak in a picture, a dream, through a word in Scripture. And I would love for us to give 15 or so minutes after this just to be able to give voice to what God is saying. But this would be a time of us sharing story for the building and edification of the church, that we would feel encouraged by what God is doing, because it's a powerful witness as we give voice to what God is saying and doing. And as we take communion, which I invite you to come and grab, I'll move those stools there a bit in the way. So come forward, and as you do, I just want to point out two things about grace. Come on. In this story. And it's this, that God graciously persisted while Samuel was learning. You know, I love that the very first time Samuel heard the voice and ran to Eli, and he got it wrong. It wasn't Eli, it was God. But God didn't berate Samuel. He didn't say, oh, kid, I can't believe you didn't hear my voice the first time. Which, if you're a parent and you ask your kids to you say something and they don't do it the first time, it's pretty easy to let them know how frustrated you are. But God doesn't get frustrated with him. It's the second time God doesn't get frustrated. The third time God doesn't get frustrated. God keeps coming back again and speaking. So God's gracious presence in Samuel's life was immense. And I love Samuel, the grace in this story is that Samuel didn't descend into a cycle of shame where after the first time he didn't walk away beating himself up going, I stuffed it up, I didn't hear God's voice, I thought it was Eli, I got it wrong. And then the second time he heard the voice but he didn't join the dots yet. And then the third time, and Samuel just kept going back when he heard the voice and didn't descend into a cycle of shame. He was like, I'm no good. I can't hear God's voice. God doesn't speak. And I find myself in that at times where I can feel shame that, mate, why aren't I hearing God's voice? Surely I should be hearing God's voice, but I'm just not hearing His voice. You know, there is such grace in this moment of communion, that Jesus gave His all, that all of us would know Him. And He persists with us, and that is grace. And His invitation for us is to not get caught in a cycle of shame, but in a cycle of grace. And so this morning, as we take communion, be reminded of what Jesus has given, that we would know Him and be invited into that grace. And so I want you to take communion, do what you need to, just for 4 or 5 minutes. We'll sit in a place of silence, of being unproductive in the presence of God. And then I'm going to open it up and see if there's some testimony that, we'll share together. So let's just sit and hear the rain, whatever you got to do.
This is for whoever's going to come and share some story. I'm curious. Jen. We've got a problem with the recording up the back, and so we had to use this thing. We didn't have to use the spatula, but it was a bit of fun.
It was the first time for everything. I felt prompted. I don't normally like to hog this space because I do get to preach, but I felt so prompted by the Holy Spirit, so I'm running with it. I just feel like there's a word of encouragement and challenge for our church. And I think the challenge and the encouragement that we have is for us to continue to press in and be mindful of the power of prayer. I had a situation this week that really floored me and both humbled me. I have a 93-year-old and a 91-year-old that's been praying for me since I was 28. I'm 56 now. And sadly, May, she's so frail she can hardly get out of bed, and she is at the end of her time waiting to be reunited with Jesus. And because they are not great on technology, I often send them a prayer email or a prayer in the mail about my travels, and they intercede for me. And this week when I met with Bob, he told me that May, because she couldn't get out of bed, had put my prayer under her pillow and waited for the Lord to prompt her to pray and intercede. And I think prayer is the greatest act of love that you can give someone, because it costs you your time. And if I would look at the greatest advocate in my life, it would be May. She's unknown. She's just a faithful person that has prayed diligently for her husband, for me, with a passion for the persecuted church, that she has been on her knees literally for years and years and years to see the breakthrough come. There was a 12 men that were unjustly imprisoned in Mexico many years ago. She faithfully prayed for them every day for 10 years until their release. When one of them was asked on the release what kept them sane during their time in prison, he had a vision of an old lady on their knees praying. Let's not lose the truth that God is all powerful, that prayer is a weapon of warfare, that He has given us a gift as a community. Let's not use it against one another. Let's use it for one another. Prayer is the greatest advocacy we have to bring light in the midst of darkness and to push back darkness. And this week, Bob said to me, he read Isaiah 40:31. It's a famous kind of prayer that we all know around. Even young men will rise up like eagles. But he said to me, Jen, the courage isn't in the flying, because that's what an eagle does naturally. The courage is in the waiting, because in the waiting you lose perspective. Watch what you do in the waiting, because God's calling you to be courageous. So bless you. Keep praying, keep believing, keep loving, and keep being and using the tools God's given us to create change.
Beautiful. Thank you, Jen. Great encouragement. You knew that such profound words could come from a spatula. Bob and Mavis. Yeah, let's keep praying for Bob and Mavis too. Great. James. Oh, Fozza. Sorry, probably didn't even know it's his name.
What's the go with the spatula, mate? It's, but yeah, so nothing super radical, but just, yeah, really had a sense that just how good was worship. Like, thanks to worship team, it's just amazing. Yourself together, mate. But yeah, just amazing to sit. Yeah, it's cool, man. It's nothing like it. So yeah, it's just nothing. I've never met it. Never, ever since I met the Lord, I've never experienced anything like that. Just yeah, with all your faults and frailties throughout the week, and the challenges that you face, it's just. It's love, man. It's like love in a moment of some kind, you know. It's really cool. So, yeah, it just sort of struck me today. That was cool. And that it just exists in the hands of Jesus, you know, exclusively, you know, and forever and always. And it's cool. We can just ask for it whenever we want. And... it's cool, and bless you, Jen, on that, the prayer stuff as well, for sure, because yeah, reading a book about that 24-hour prayer stuff, and it's really powerful. So just a chance to just even talk to God whenever we want is really special. So yeah,
thanks, Fozza. He often says to me, Dave, what do I know? I'm just a carpenter. It's not what you know, it's something rich that God's doing in your life, mate. So it's a great reminder. Nothing better than being worshiping Jesus in the presence.
Hello.
Hello, Nicola. This is Nicola. If you haven't met Nicola yet, Nicola and Ben are together, married. They've been coming along for about a month.
Yeah.
It's been great to have you with us.
Yeah, thank you. God really speaks to me through his word. If you don't know much about my... No one would know much about my testimony, but I was living very far away from God. And basically doing everything that displeased him, so worshipping false idols and all in like the spiritual realm and pulling tarot cards and having these out-of-body experiences. So when I hear God, I really need it to be backed up with scripture verse. So I pray to God and say, okay, I feel like I hear you, but can you show me in your word? And when we got down and I took the bread and just even being here, I really feel like God is providing, because we've been praying for a church home that we can come together that's in our area. And it's been like a two-year journey for us. And I just got on my knees and I could just... I saw someone at Woolies the other week, and she's just this young girl and her name badge said Jaira. And I was like, oh, do you know what your name means? And she's like, yeah, provider. And I was like, yeah. And it just like, and I don't know, I was like, God bless you. And just that name has just stuck with me. So when I got on my knees, that word came, like Jaira, like provider. And I was like, oh, okay, like, well, God, show me in your word, like, just that, like, what I need to know right now. And he led me to Mark 8 and verse 4 specifically. He's very specific when he talks to me. And it reads, and his disciples answered him, and how can we feed these people with bread here in this desolate place? And he asked them, how many loaves do you have? And they said, 7. And he directed the crowd to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves, and having given thanks, he broke them and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And they set them before the crowd. And they had a few small fish. And having blessed them, he said that these also should be set before them. And they ate and were satisfied. And they took up to the broken pieces left over 7 baskets full. And it's just so beautiful to see, just like even in a desolate place where there's not much, you know, people might look around and be like, what is this? And, you know, Jesus just sees possibility. He sees that there is fruitfulness, you know, even in unimaginable circumstances, and that he is continually providing. And just the work that he's done in my heart over for the 4 years that I've been walking with the Lord has been something that I can't even put into words. So he's just such a good, faithful father, and I just wanted to share that. And yeah, God bless.
Good on you, Nicola.
Does this really work? Oh, it has got something on it.
What, you thought it was a magic
spell?
Yeah. It was an actual...
I thought, how are they getting that sound out of there? That's some spatula, sorry. it's just happened this week. You know how people ask you, oh, how's life going? And I just sort of felt, well, I was honest and said, oh, it's just bobbing along, you know, pretty ho-hum. And I often think in pictures... And so the picture I've got was just this, like, rubber duck that's just on the waves, not in the surf, in the turbulence, but just in the waves. And, it, you know, how you normally know ducks' feet go 10 to the dozen, but its feet wasn't going like that. I just felt like it was bobbing along and it was a bit mundane. And, you know, like, I'll be honest, you know, sometimes you come to the Lord and you don't hear things. It's, you come, you know he's there. And he speaks to you, but it's just, you know, that's what you got to do. And so it's been a bit like that. And I was just sharing, and God sort of changed my perspective. And I felt like there was this vastness, there was this duck. And I could see, you know, someone asked me, well, where was God in that picture? And I said, I saw him out in my peripheral on a ship, on a boat. He was there, but he was from a distance. And I saw land way, way, way ahead, but I'd come from somewhere, but I was just in this bobbing along, and life was okay, and the sky was grey and quiet, but it was just like that. And then as I was talking and sharing, I realised that actually this place was a gift. It was a place of giftedness, because I've come in my life from a lot of chaos, where I've gone from one crisis to another. So for me to experience just this bobbing along is a new experience, but it was actually God showing me, this is my gift to you. And often for me, I look for blessings in the vehicle I think I need to be blessed by, but God knows us so well that he knows our hearts and he knows how to bless us deeply. And so my perspective has changed in this mundaneness. It's his gift, the spaciousness and his rest and time to reflect. So it's like, don't despise these times. And I've been reading this book, The Sacred Flame, and the chapter in our home group we were sharing on was prayer. It was really interesting. It relayed this story, well, of Mother Teresa. Like 60% of her life, she felt like she couldn't sense God's presence. And you know what she did. It's pretty incredible. And he likened it to a story of a son or a daughter going to visit their aging mother in a retirement village. And they would go just for an hour every day after work. You know, and oftentimes they'd be looking at the clock to think, oh, you know, how much longer is it before I have to go? Compared to the other sibling who might come once every 6 months and have this amazing time, but who knew the mother more? It was the person that turned up, the child, the daughter, the son that turned up every day and knew the mother so much better. And it's like turning up each day to be in God's presence. You know him and there's a depth that you know, that goes deep. So, I know, it was encouraging to me. You know, there's times, maybe a lot of the time, where life just seems like it's bobbing along. But in that place, God meets us, and it's a gift of spaciousness, of trust, of allowing him to bless us in the way he knows.
So good, Robin. And the blessing of that just continues on, but in that spaciousness, your prophetic voice is really quite a blessing and amazing, and so continue to be that blessing for us as you hear God in that bobbingness. I long to bob.
Hey, Dave.
Jeff, spatula.
Meat Thank spatula.
You. Yep. I want eggs now. I work in early childhood, which means that I work with kids from 0 to 5, mostly kids under 3 that I'm spending most of my time with. And when a new kid comes along to the center, sometimes they settle right in there, stoked. Most of them, they'll cry for a while. They'll cry and they'll be reaching for the door and they'll be going, where's my mommy, where's my mommy? And then when other kids get picked up, they start going, oh, where's my mommy? Their mommy's here, where's my mommy? But they'll usually settle in about a month or so. There's a little girl that we have who I call Kata, who she's been with us for about a year. And still, most days, she'll cry. But this week, when I was hanging out with her, and when these new kids come, I try to make sure they feel safe. I make that a focus of mine to make sure that they'll feel safe, at least with one person. And so, like, she'll be crying, and I'll go up to her, and I'll sit with her. And her parents are Greek and Russian, and she's 2. So she'll try to talk, but a regular 2-year-old, when I try to talk, you've got very little chance of understanding them. And she probably doesn't know that Russian, Greek, and English are different languages. Right. So she'll talk to me, and occasionally it'll be a word like mama or dada or something like that, that I'll be like, okay, I know what that means. But she'll just talk, and I'll just be like, yeah. But this week, one of the times when, you know, we're all there and I was sitting down and she was following me. And so I grabbed the chair and I put the chair beside me and I patted the chair and her face lit up and she jumped in the chair next to me and she just started babbling at me. And I had no idea what she was saying. I was just going, yeah. You have a toy bunny. I like your jumper. It's cloudy today. Look, there are birdies. And she was just going, but she was so excited to talk to me. And I had no idea what she was saying, but that didn't matter. Because she was stoked to be with me. And that really lit me up and it lifted me up. And one of the things that struck me here today was, like, we can just go up and talk to God. There's always the chair there. God's always patting the chair going, come, hang out with me. And it doesn't much matter what we say or what we do or how we go about that. God wants us to sit with him and hang out with him. And God's stoked when we do. Yeah. Thank you.
Good on you, mate. You're a patient man and you carry the patience of God with you. And that's, yeah. Yeah, you know, it's a great story to remind us of that, Jeff. That the patience of God, he does. He's just got a chair for us saying, hey, come and sit and chat.
I was actually just reflecting, when I was taking communion, you know, almost 2 years ago, our church community, that was really beautiful, came to a healthy but very sad close. And for me, guess, you know, just that heart of worship, I just wasn't sure if I'd ever get to lead worship again. But the Lord just really so beautifully just reminded me to just relax in his presence and remain in his love. And it's been, you know, quite a journey. And just even this morning, it's so overwhelming just like to have been, you know, for Brennan and I just to be loved by this community, to have been accepted into it. And we're so grateful for that. And just, I don't know, just get a sense to want to encourage people that if you, like, I've kind of had like 2 redundancies in 2 years now. but God's so faithful. I just wanted to encourage anyone who is just feeling like, you know, some of their dreams are not coming to fruition, or they feel like something that's really precious to them has kind of been taken away a little bit and not sure, like, oh, will I ever get to do this again? Will I ever get to, you know, live out that kind of gift that the Lord's placed in me? I really felt the Lord say to me, it's like, you're my girl, it's all right, I've got you. And I just feel like he wants to say that to you as well. And it might be about something entirely different, but relaxing in him, remaining in his love, I think in just allowing him, you know, us trusting in God that he is always at work in the background and all he asks for is willing hearts. And when we remain willing, he just continues to move. So, yeah, that's my encouragement to you this morning.
Good on you, Joe. He's always got a sense of humour when you think you're done worship leading. You've been leading us in worship here for quite a while in that last 2 years, and now part of your role at Georges River Life for the rest of the year, you're telling me this week, is leading some leading worship. God's got your number. Yeah. Maybe we've got time. One more, if there's one more. If there's not, that's okay as well. And we can...
This chair's high. Thanks, Dave. I work in early childhood too, so I'm really grateful for people that pray for me, and I have a lovely lady, Carolyn, who sends me a message every day, and one of her messages recently was... Can you just hold that one?
Sure.
People were watching me before doing techno stuff, and I'm just going to...
You've got this.
Oh, got it?
Yeah.
Where's Carolyn? go to messages, that would help, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, do you? During the week, she sent me a message, and it was Numbers 6, 24 to 26, and it was... May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favour and give you his peace. So that's wonderful. And I love the verse, protect you and keep you. Every week when I go to work, I pray over the preschool where I work at and for the children and my educators I work with. This week on Thursday afternoon, we had a pretty major incident, and... we spent hours after work writing reports and debriefing and crying. And through it all, I knew that God had protected that child and God brought peace to us, because it all was fine. Everything was fine. But in the moment, it was huge. And the most major part of my job when I go to work is to make sure that children are safe. From the minute you drop your child off to the minute you pick your child off, I have to know where that child is every moment, because that's what we do, along with all the other stuff. We teach them, we care for them, we're doctors, we're nurses, we're everything else, but the most paramount part of it is to keep them safe. And I absolutely know I can't do that if I don't have God with me. And he's with me every time I step into that building. And when I pray before I go to work, I know that his protection is going to be there all day. And so I'm just grateful that he was there on Thursday, because it was a pretty major thing that happened, but it was okay. Mm. It was okay. So the power of prayer, following on from Jen and her story about prayer, is it is paramount in our lives. And God's just there. He's right there. He's right there.
Mm. Good on you, Donna. Thank you. The good news is that we get to do this again in 2 weeks' time. So if you feel like there's something that the Lord is impressing on your heart to share, then please, bring that in a couple of weeks. On that Sunday as well, Bretto's going to share around what's happening in Cambodia. I'll be sharing some testimony from Fiji. And perhaps if we can get someone from Kingsway Care here to come and speak about what's happening in Platform 9. And the week after that is our run to restore the 8-kilometre or 3-kilometre run walk in Cronulla at the end of the month as well. So there's lots happening, lots coming up, and Mother's Day next week. We'll finish there because we've gone over a little bit, but we started a little bit late. Can I encourage you to continue that conversation that is right now in your heart over coffee. What God is doing, saying. If you've got an encouragement for someone, make sure you beeline for them and encourage them, and we'll have coffee, tea, and whatnot, and we'll be, I'll see you in 2 weeks, and enjoy Mother's Day. And guys, what are you forgetting to bring? Morning tea, ice vovos, etc. So, all good. Be blessed. Let me pray, and we'll finish up. Father, thank you that you are at work and you speak to us. And
Lord, we thank you that as we look at Samuel, we look at just being unproductive in your presence, lying down in your presence, and the work that came from that was incredible. As you revealed yourself to Samuel, as Samuel grew and none of your words in his life fell to the ground, Lord, I pray that that would be reality for us, that as we grow in our walk and faith with you, that none of your words would return void, that none of your words would fall to the ground, that none of your words would be wasted, but we would receive what you have to say. And Lord, I ask specifically for this thread of the importance and value and necessity of prayer in your church, Lord. I pray, God, that that would not be diminished as we leave from this place, but God, you would remind us this week of the power of us as a praying church and the kingdom impact that that has on a very local level in someone's heart to macro levels in our world. And so, Father, encourage us to be the house of prayer that you so wish for us to be, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thanks for sharing, everyone who shared. Thanks for being here, part of community. And grab a tea, coffee, hang out, and enjoy. See you soon.